Amen. Well, thank you to both Meredith and Al Ray, and appreciate you sharing that with us, and thank God for them. If you have your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. Before we get into today's message, let me give a few introductory kind of clarifying remarks. Some of you by now have figured out my preference, my heartbeat is what we call expository preaching, verse by verse, chapter by chapter, book by book, and walk through the scriptures and let the scripture preach itself. Let it walk and teach us and exhort us and rebuke us and all those things. And so that's my preference. But every now and then, I do think it's appropriate we pause and dig into the scriptures, and certainly other people have different ways of doing it, and you have topical preaching and different things, and it's just typically not my preference, but every now and then, Lord leads me to that. And so, just maybe by way of confession this morning, it's going to be less verse by verse and really more topical and themed, if you will. And so I am taking a little bit of liberty from the text this morning and going to preach some themes to you about the life and ministry of Jesus, and focusing on Jesus and coming in this Christmas season and the celebration of that. And so just going forward, just be aware of that, okay? So Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And if you have found your place, if you're physically able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Luke chapter 2 and verse 1. And it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place when Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, every one to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was, while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered. And this is where we're going to sit down in and draw some things out of this portion of the text. Verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for this season and opportunity to celebrate your birth, your coming from heaven, to rescue us, to ransom us. And Lord, I pray that you would take the preaching of your word, you would pierce it to the asunder of our soul. Lord, I pray that you'd fill me with your spirit, give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. Lord, I pray you would be glorified this morning. I ask all these things in Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much. So, I'm preaching to you a message that I have titled, Jesus Stepped Down. Jesus Stepped Down. And primarily, we're going to focus on some correlations of his service and his humanity and deity combined, and what that means for us. And again, going to pull some themes that I think begin in verse 7 that point us and project us to some things that take place later on in Jesus' life and ministry, with us having the perspective now to look back and look over the life and ministry of Jesus through the lens of Scripture. And so the main idea of the message this morning is that Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to be the Savior of the world. Jesus, the Son of God, came from heaven to be the Savior of the world. And the question this morning I want to present to you is, if Jesus is God, and then I wanted to clarify and put in parentheses, and he is, it's not a question of doubt, Jesus is the Son of God, but how does that impact your life? Jesus being the full-out Son of God, how does that impact your life? Because that is what Christmas is about. It's about celebrating Jesus Christ, the very Son of God, stepping down out of heaven, coming to earth, putting on the flesh suit of humanity. How does that impact our life? How does that impact your home? How does it impact your work? How does it impact your church? The greatest miracle we've known, God in human, coming in human flesh. How does that impact us? Well, out of verse 7, I want us to look at four themes that we see out of the life and ministry of Jesus. And so number one, and I'll fair warn you, some of these are a little corny and a little cheesy, but that's as good as my creativity gets, okay? So number one, Jesus reigns from the cave to the kingdom. Jesus reigns from the cave to the kingdom. Now, let me just, I don't know, I felt like there's several PSA announcements this morning, but I may ruin your nativity set this morning, okay? And it's not my intention to, all right? But it's interesting, you go around stores and you look, and it's really difficult for me because as I walk through a lot of and see a lot of different nativity sets, so many of them don't line up with Scripture. Now listen, it's okay if yours looks a little different, and some of you are going, well, I'll be in preaching like a mile, seeing that. It's okay. But here's the deal, is we read through this birth narrative and we understand and we look at what the Scripture really tells us about the birth of Jesus. Now, I've seen lately, and it's always this time of year, there's some memes that float around. Those are pictures with words on them, okay, for everybody. I'm just kidding. It's okay, all right? I know it. It's Sunday morning before Christmas. No laughter. None. Stop it. Okay. All right. So there's some pictures that float around on Facebook that talk about, you know, all these different things. Why do we celebrate Christmas on December 25th? Jesus wasn't born then. He's born in the spring. He's born here and he's born in, and just on and on. And listen, I understand. Do we know the exact date and time? We don't. But here's the reality. It's a time where we pause and we celebrate what God has done for us in sending his son Jesus. Was he born December 25th on that exact day, that exact time? We don't know. Could he have been born at a different time? Absolutely. Okay? And so you have some of that goes on and shepherds and their timing and all those sorts of things. But one of the things that happens is we read this narrative that he goes to an inn and tries to find a place to stay. And we'll unpack that in a moment. There's no room there. And so out of that, we find him laying in a manger, and we're going to talk about that in a moment. And so we assume that he's in a stable, okay? That's where Jesus is born, and it likely could be true. And so sometimes you'll see in our Western thinking these nativity seats that have a A-frame barn-like structure. And the reality in Jesus' day, that probably is not what he was born in. It was likely maybe more of a cave. He could have been in an open court somewhere. We're not really clear about exactly where Jesus was born. I think there's some reason behind that. And so that's why a little bit of play on words here where Jesus reigns from the cave to the kingdom, because we don't have a lot of clarity. But we do know that Jesus came born, and the primary emphasis here is that Jesus came not just, yes, he did come as a small baby, but as he came as a king. Back up. We'll try to. Jesus came as a king. And we celebrate. It's a cute time. It's a fun time. It's a time to celebrate. And sometimes during the Christmas season, we don't think about Jesus coming as a king. But Jesus was, is, and will always be king. And so we have this prophetic word from Scripture. Daniel 4, 34 says, "And at the end of time, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted my eyes to heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High and praised and honored Him who lives forever, for His dominion is an everlasting dominion, and His kingdom is from generation to generation." The psalmist said in 145, 13, "Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generation." And Paul would write to Timothy in 1 Timothy 1:17, "Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, to God who alone is wise, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." Listen, folks, what we are celebrating this morning and what we are celebrating during this time, and one of the reasons we gather together is because, not just because we don't serve a dead God, but we serve a God that is King of kings and Lord of lords. He has a dominion that lasts. He is on the throne. He will never get off the throne. He will never cease to be king. He will never cease to be God. He has a dominion that lasts forever and ever. So Jesus reigns from the cave to the kingdom. And boy, that ought to bring a lot of great rest to our soul. A peace, a security. Hey, listen, in the midst of turmoil, and I don't care what your political party is and what your political views are, and you look around the world and man, some political things and government shutdowns and on, and man, it seems like just the soil is rocky. Especially from one election to another, never knowing who's going to be at the helm and all those things. Well, let me just affirm you this morning and encourage you. There's no election cycle. There's no term limits in heaven. Jesus reigns forever and ever. Amen. And so, number one, Jesus reigns from the cave to the kingdom. Number two, Jesus was wrapped in clothes to dress us in righteousness. Jesus was wrapped in clothes to dress us in righteousness. Verse 7 says, "And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes." And by the way, let me just say, this points to his humanity. Yeah, I don't know what your lesson was on Sunday school this morning. Those of you that will be here for that. But in our class, we walked through the birth announcement to Mary from the angel and that interaction that took place. And we just talked about that the importance of the angelic announcement, and that the Holy Spirit was going to come upon Mary and she was going to have a child. The importance of the Spirit of God doing that, pointing to the divinity, the godly, the God of Jesus. But then the importance of Him having an earthly mother in Mary. Because Him coming through Mary, He had a full-on human flesh. He was fully human. Now, it's kind of like the Trinity. People want to say, how do you explain Him being fully God and fully human? How do you explain? I don't know. I don't have a good illustration. But all I know is that's what the Scripture teaches, is that He was fully human, yet fully God. And the Scripture teaches me why. Because Hebrews says that He was tempted in all ways, yet without sin. Why? So that He could minister to us. So He could sympathize with us. So He could, as a human, perfect without any sin, would die on the cross and not have to die for His own sins, because He didn't have the sin nature. He never sinned. But yet He could fully pay the ransom for my soul. Well, there's beauty in that. There's grace and mercy. But not only does His sacrifice take away my sin, take away my punishment. Because, see, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Believer, let me remind you, dear friend, let me remind you, there's not a person in this room that is without sin. Every one of us that knows the difference between right and wrong always chooses wrong at some point. And there's only been one who didn't, and that was Jesus. And because of his his life, his sinless life, and him going to the cross and dying the death that he did, and raising from the dead, and we're going to talk about that in a moment, but he not only saved me from something, but listen to what the scripture says in 2 Corinthians 5:21. It says, "For he made him, for God made him who knew no sin," he was sinless, "to be sin for us," look, "that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Now listen, if all God ever did for me was take away my sin, that would be pretty awesome. But God didn't stop there, because it wasn't enough. It wasn't just a matter of taking my sin away. I had to be clothed in perfection. I had to be clothed in the righteousness of Jesus. And I know some of you won't believe this morning, including my wife, but right now in the eyes of God, I'm perfect. So, some of you are awake. You weren't a minute ago, you are now. And we even got that recorded. So see. Preacher, that's awfully bold of you to say you're perfect. Listen, I'm not perfect in and of myself. And notice I said in the eyes of God. Why? Because when I surrender my heart and life to the Lord Jesus, that day, October 10th, 2004, Jesus came. He took all my past, present, and future sin, and God laid it over on his son Jesus. And you know what God did? God took all the righteousness, the perfection, the sinlessness of his son Jesus and laid it over on me. That way, positionally, that is, in the eyes of God, in terms of my eternity, I'm perfect in Christ Jesus. And let me tell you something, believer, you are too. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us. What happened? What's he talking about? Mary wrapping him in clothes. Why? Because he is an absolute human and fully human yet fully God in that moment when she's wrapping that baby, a picture of his humanity pointing to that when he dies on the cross, he can clothe us in righteousness. Boy, that's something to celebrate this Christmas season. That he will never cease to be king. He reigns from the cave to the kingdom. He is clothed. He has put on clothes that he may dress us, clothe us in righteousness today, believer. If you don't know Christ, if you are here this morning and you never repented of your sins and placed your faith and trust in Christ, do it today. Jesus will take all your past, present, future sin and he will clothe you in righteousness. And so, number three, Jesus was laid in a manger and a grave to raise the dead to life. He was laid in a manger and in a grave to raise the dead to life. Jesus never misunderstood, never got confused about his mission. What did Jesus say? He said, "The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost." Remember, I talked to you last week about the beauty of Christmas is found in the power of Easter. Here's the reality. He started in a manger, yet he did not end his life in a grave. Amen? Because when they laid him there 3 days later, by the power of Almighty God, he was raised from the dead to life forevermore. Conquering death, hell, and the grave. And so Jesus here in Luke 7, we see him, that he is here, he doesn't find room in the inn. And by the way, that simply could mean anything from what we think about with an inn or a guest room somewhere. Yet he's wrapped up and he's laid in this manger, a feeding trough, pointing to his humility. Do you remember Philippians 2? "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal to God." Boy, his humility pointing that from the very beginning he was rejected, he was outcast, his human and godliness wasn't understood, and he was laid in this feeding trough. That's all that he had. And at the end of his life, a similar picture of rejection. He didn't understand his purpose, why he came. And they beat him, scourged him, humiliated him, or at least tried to. They nailed him to a cross and crucified him. Where Jesus laid down his life. No man took it from him. He laid it down willingly. And they laid him in a grave, thinking they had won. Thinking they had finally put this man away and completed the task. In reality, it was all in fulfillment. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. It's why we celebrate Christmas. Listen, folks, without Easter, Christmas would not be a time of celebration. It would be a blimp on a radar screen. It would be a marker on a tombstone somewhere. But because Jesus got up from the grave, we celebrate Christmas. And because of that, you and I can have great hope, great purpose, great zeal during this Christmas season. Because Jesus gets up from the grave, that promises resurrection and life after for those who believe on the Lord Jesus. 2 Corinthians 4:14, knowing that he who raised up the Lord Jesus will also raise us up with Jesus and will present us with you. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. He was laid in a manger and in a grave, but that's not where it ended. And so, number four. No room was found at the end. And for the sake of ending this thing as cheesy as I can, will there be any room found in your life for him? Jesus begins his earthly ministry as an outcast, as not having anything, and not being accepted. He ends his earthly ministry the same way. And for all who don't know Christ, that's exactly how he's treated. It's amazing how commercialized Christmas is, isn't it? It's amazing how easy it is for us as believers to get caught up in the busyness of Christmas, right? There's all kinds. It's incredible how many meetings, how many parties, how many events we can cram into a couple week period. And how much busyness, how much stress we can put on ourselves. Some of it's by choice, some of it's not. But folks, I just really, as your pastor this morning going into the next couple days, and I realize the next couple days are busy. But as your pastor going into those next couple days, I just want to challenge you to be really careful to make sure that you carve out some time to make sure that you honor the Lord Jesus in what you do, how you live your life, how you lead your family. Moms and dads, maybe you already have a tradition where you get up and you focus on the Christmas story before you open presents, or you've got some other way of highlighting that time. And praise the Lord, I'm so grateful for that. Some of you, maybe you don't. And you know what? That's okay. Start this year. Find a place and a time that fits for your schedule. Read the Christmas story. Highlight the birth of Jesus. celebrate Christ. Grandmas and grandpas, they may not get it at home. When they come to your place, make sure you carve out that time to celebrate Christ. Some of you going and spending time with your family, find ways to talk about Jesus, to celebrate, to express thanksgiving. If you think about how difficult it is for us as believers to make sure we protect the spirit of Christmas, you multiply that by 1,000, and that's the world. And one of the ways that you may be here this morning, maybe you've never surrendered your heart and life to the Lord Jesus. Jesus has come for you. This really is about giving. This season really is about a gift, and that is the Lord Jesus giving Himself for you. And so how do you receive that gift? A lot of you are going to, you've got gifts under the tree now, and your name's on them or somebody's name's on it. The only way to receive that gift is to actually accept it and take it. It's the same way with the Lord Jesus. The Bible says this. It says, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe with your heart that God raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What does that mean? That I'm willing to openly say that I believe Jesus is the sinless Son of God who came to die on the cross for me, to offer salvation, was raised from the grave, to reign forevermore, to offer salvation. I believe that. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness. I'm repenting of my sin. I turn from all these things that I'm doing wrong, that I know are wrong, and I'm turning to God. Heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. In verse 13, how do we accept it? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let me tell you, the greatest gift you could receive during this time is the gift of salvation. Do it today. Some of you may have been under the conviction for decades now. Receive the gift of salvation today. Some of you, maybe God's just dealing with your heart today. Receive the gift of salvation. And believers, Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He may have the preeminence. You know what that means? In all things He may be first. First place. Number one. There's no close second. He is absolute priority. And for you believers, I would just ask you, in your home, in your life, in your work, in your marriage, in your parenting, is Jesus preeminent? And so here's the response. Opportunities to respond this morning. Here in just a moment, I'm going to lead us in an invitation. I'm going to lead us an opportunity to, for those of you who don't know Christ, to pray and ask Jesus. We confess with our mouth. Whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The only way I know to do that is to pray. Now listen, you don't need me to lead you in some prayer. If God's dealing with the heart, you just pray back to God what's going on in your life. Seek forgiveness of sin, salvation of your soul. Surrender your heart and life to Him. Ask Him to be boss and master of your life. You just pray and God will hear that. You can pray it in the silence of your heart. You can pray it out loud. But whatever you do, you pray and you mean it with all your heart. And the Bible says, not some crazy redheaded preacher, the Bible says God will save you. So that's invitation number one. I'm going to lead you in that time. And then listen, let me just be really transparent and honest with you. We're going to have a time of invitation where we'll have some music playing, and there may be some other folks that come and pray at this altar. There may be some people come and ask me to pray with them. But I'm also going to ask you, if you pray and mean that with all your heart, to come and take my hand. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed that. And say, why would you do that? Because I believe that's the single most important decision you'll ever make in your life. And I would be ashamed. I want to walk alongside you. I want to celebrate with you. I want to rejoice with you. But then also, I want to help come alongside you and help you grow in that. And let me just be really honest with you. The Bible says, confess with your mouth. If you really repent and place your faith and trust in Christ, you won't be ashamed of it. And then the other side of the invitation is that in all things He may have preeminence. Believers, it'll be a challenge for you. Church, it's a challenge for you. Does Jesus have preeminence in our church? Does Jesus have preeminence in our service, in our Sunday school, in our Wednesday night? Does Jesus have preeminence in our food pantry? Does Jesus have preeminence in everything that we do? Does Jesus have preeminence in your home? Does He have preeminence in your life? And it may be a time that you need to come and spend time praying and ask God to forgive you. He doesn't have preeminence in my marriage or my home. Or maybe a time that, God, I want you, Jesus, I want you to have preeminence in my life. I want you to have preeminence on Christmas morning in my house. I need wisdom. God, will you give me wisdom? This would be a great time to respond and spend time praying over that. So if you will you bow your head and close your eyes? We have this time of response. Jesus, I thank you for your word. And I pray, God, that if there's anybody here that needs to respond, you would give them grace to be obedient to you. Head bowed, eyes closed. And if that's you, if you need to trust Christ, pray something like this. Say, Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come to my heart, wash away my sin. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. Save me, Lord Jesus. In Jesus' name. With head bowed and eyes closed and nobody else looking around, if you prayed that this morning and you meant it with all your heart, would you just slip your head up and look right up here at me? Look right here at my eyes. Say, Brother Chris, I prayed that this morning with you and I meant it with all my heart. Amen. Anybody else? God, I pray in these next few moments we would respond in obedience to you. This music is playing softly. This time is for you. You come. You need to spend some time praying on this altar. You come. If you prayed just a moment ago, you come. So, Brother Chris, I prayed that and I meant it with all my heart. I want to celebrate with you. I want to rejoice with you. Maybe you just need somebody to pray with you. I'd love to do that. This time is for you. You be obedient to what God has for you. You come now.